up, RBR Nation? Hope y'all are having a good night, good week. It's an interesting week for USF sports. The men's basketball and the women's basketball starting up. In case you didn't know, this is RBLR Bulls. So we're going to be talking about that. You know, we're going to be talking about the basketball season starting up for both men and women. We're talking a little football as well. And there's a lot of sports going on. You know, soccer is doing its thing. The volleyball team is doing their thing too. So we've got a lot to talk about this week. But before we get to any specific topics, I want to introduce my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq. We're doing double duty tonight. It's USF. It's the Tampa Bay Bucks. How you doing tonight, Musab? You ready?
So far, so good. Yeah, man, I'm ready. Just excited. There's just so much USF action going on, you know, and, you know, we're done with the bye week now for football. Basketball just started. And we're going to get into it, but just a whole lot of action going on and also just some good stuff going on too, you know? So, yeah.
Oh, indeed. I don't remember if we covered it in the last episode or if we discussed it at all, but they hired Derek Brooks too. That's kind of fun. That's a big update in the USF athletic department. New AD, now a new, I think he was the COO. Is that the title that they gave
him?
Something weird and kind of corporate, but so really exciting stuff around USF, but we'll talk some football first. They are back in action after a bye week. You know, they're taking on UTSA on Thursday, so tomorrow technically from where we're recording. And they're, you know, just a little check-in. They're 6-2 right now, fourth in the American Conference. They had the one loss the week before against Memphis. But a whole lot of other teams lost this past week as well. UNT took down Navy in a big, I don't want to say big, but a pretty surprising upset. And an even bigger upset, frankly, was UTSA taking down Tulane. So that was really interesting. And that'll be something to monitor for sure, because those are two of the teams that USF is going to be competing with for that conference championship title game appearance. So a lot of stuff going on in the football world, but focusing specifically on the USF-UTSA game, ESPN is going to be on campus at USF from 2 to 3 p.m. They're going to have a little pregame show, so that's kind of fun. That doesn't usually happen to USF, but they're the Thursday night feature game. And it's kind of a big one, you know, kind of an impactful one. Every game for USF is a must win at this point if they want to make it to the conference championship. So really interesting. But UTSA kind of on the fringes of the American Conference, not quite Charlotte level bad or Rice level bad, but definitely not thought of among the Tulane, Memphis, and USFs. But after they took down Tulane, does this kind of change how you view UTSA from before, Musab?
At first I was like, yeah, but then I looked at Tulane's schedule, man, and you know, they look good, but I mean, they haven't really played any real competition, you know, compared to the other, you know, American Athletic Conference, you know, kind of top dogs like Memphis, USF, or Navy, hell, even UNT as well. So, and when they did face a good team, I mean, they got absolutely annihilated. They played Ole Miss, but Ole Miss is Ole Miss. I mean, we're not going to be like, oh, it should have been a close game or something too. So, they got embarrassed by UTSA big time. It was, I never thought that Tulane was that much of a threat, but they just played extra sloppy. And I think they, if anything, they made UTSA look good. But UTSA also, you know, had a hell of a game too. I don't want to just, you know, take away that, you know, that iconic win from them either.
Right.
523 yards total. Whew. I mean, their quarterback, Owen McCown, son of Josh McCown, was absolutely cooking it out there. 370 yards, four touchdowns. This was bound to happen, but then again, you think about, you know, they had, I think, like four turnovers, two interceptions by Tulane. So that doesn't help. And I know they also are missing two key linebackers, again, from the names from the top of my head. So that didn't help. But the fact that they just got ran over, it wasn't like it was a close loss.
Right.
That's
sort of what made me raise my eyebrow, so to speak, that it wasn't really close. It wasn't like, they just lost. Like USF and Memphis, that was a close game. Like USF just narrowly took that L. UTSA did not have any problem with Tulane, it seemed like. I know Tulane definitely helped them out with those turnovers, like you said, but also, like, UTSA forced those turnovers, right? So, yeah, Luke McCown, or not Luke McCown, Owen McCown, Luke McCown, Josh McCown's brother. Yeah, my goodness, he's been cooking this year. The lefty, he's a fun guy to watch out there for sure. Not a massive athlete or anything. Definitely not, definitely not Byron Brown or anything like that in terms of dual threat ability. But man, he can really throw that ball. He can spin it. So, yeah, he's been fantastic this year. 17 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. I mean, that's going to do the job every time for sure. Are there any other UTSA players that you're kind of looking at it based on their performance against Tulane, or just regarding their whole season performance? Who are you looking at as some key guys from UTSA?
Ooh, they got some dogs on offense, you know, with the running back, Robert Henry, who has like 955 rushing yards, 11 touchdowns. But on top of that, you know, who kind of complements him a little bit. I don't want to say it's kind of like a 1-2 punch, but Will Henderson, he gets a little bit of action as well with the run game and the pass game. So definitely a key role player. I mean, their wide receivers had a hell of a night. I don't know if I want to say Tulane's DBs are just absolutely, you know, dog crap. But it's just the fact that, you know, they had the opportunities there. Devin McEwen, he's their team leader. He has 6 receiving touchdowns, averages like almost 11 yards per reception. And then David Amador, he had a big game last week, and he's also a special teams threat. Their special teams, you know, wasn't much of a threat last game against Tulane, but just a guy to look out for. But the defense is where I'm looking at, just because I'm hoping to rack up as many points as possible. So the big guy that I'm looking at is Jimmy Weirich. He already has 6 pass deflections. He's second in, you know, tackles on the team. He's a safety, just absolute DB dog out there.
Yeah, man, this is a tough team. I think UTSA, they kind of get overshadowed by like literally every other Texas university, because you got Texas Tech, A&M, Longhorns. Like, there are just so many stinking good teams out there. SMU, like, there are some really good teams in the state of Texas. And UTSA, they're in the American Conference. They haven't really had a whole lot of success recently or throughout their history, frankly, but man, they're a good team. You know, they still get like the worst players in Texas are still pretty darn good in terms of being D1 players in Texas, D1 football players especially. So yeah, there is a lot of talent over there on that UTSA team. So there's some stuff to watch out for there for sure. But in terms of USS specifically, do you think that maybe this is kind of a nice little bounce back game? Do you think there's like any statement that can be made with a game like this? Or do you think USF is kind of just in take care of business mode, not really too worried about public perception or anything like that?
Yeah, if I was the Bulls, I wouldn't be worried about public perception. Just I would worry about just, you know, sticking to the fundamentals and keeping it a clean game. Turnovers really, really, you know, bit Tulane in the butt. It bit us in the butt as well. We only had 1 turnover against Memphis. I have to say it felt like it was quite costly, just because it came down to the wire. So just any small thing like that, you know, it can kind of change the whole kind of momentum of the game for each team. So that's probably the biggest thing to learn, is just, you know, having a clean game, you know, as much as possible, from that Memphis loss. But I don't know, is there anything that you're looking at?
Definitely, like you said, the turnovers thing is just so huge, because if they don't beat themselves, I don't really see UTSA taking home a victory, especially, you know, they're traveling, they're on the road facing against USF. You know, we always talk about not having necessarily a big home field advantage, but more just like, you know, playing on the road is tough, regardless of how daunting or intimidating the away crowd is. Definitely just focusing on clean game, like you said, no stupid turnovers, and definitely limiting the penalties for sure, because you're playing against a team that's still pretty good, but I do think that USF is a tier above in terms of talent, or at least they should be. And so, you know, when you're playing in these types of games, it's really about not playing stupid, just playing smart. And USF has shown an ability to do that, because, man, when they get that run game going, it's just, I hate to harp on that so much because we do that every week, but they just do some really impressive things on the ground, especially in the second half. They wear down defenses. You can just see it whenever they're playing, especially like UNT game, and was a really big case of that. They just wore down that UNT defensive line and that secondary and the linebackers, because they're tough to tackle. It's tough to tackle Byron Brown and Sam Franklin and Davenport. So, that's kind of some keys to victory. But are there any other guys that you're looking at on USF to kind of step up and have a big game?
Yeah, before that, I also say, I have to say, it's nice to know that UNT absolutely crushed UTSA 55-17. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, just some food for thought for our listeners as well. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to do the exact same, but, you know, as much as I want to say it's any given Saturday or Thursday, whenever these guys play, I still stand by my first statement I said about Tulane. They just haven't faced any top dogs, and it shows. So, defense, I'm looking more at our defense. I think, you know, we're looking at, you know, Matt Harris, Jalen Schuler, Jarvis Lee, Deshaun Rucker. I'm expecting them to have a big game, as, you know, they've been, you know, stepping up to the plate in the past, of course. But the biggest thing that I'm looking for is, now I got to, you know, actually pull that up, but I don't recall UTSA having a very dominant run game, you know, against Tulane. Right. You know, minus Robert Henry, he had a pretty good game, but
yeah, McCown was cooking, but yeah, they weren't running.
Yeah, it was really the McCown and, you know, the wide receiver show. Mm-hmm. But the only thing is just, you know, focusing on playing all four quarters, because as we saw from the Memphis game, you know, we held Memphis's running game to like 53 yards, you know, for the most part, and then boom, comes the fourth quarter, and, you know, they kind of rush for 76 yards. So, you know, just kind of, you know, all gas, no brakes, kind of, you know, defense is what I'm looking for.
And Brendan Lewis, the Memphis quarterback, despite that bum ankle, he had a heck of a game too. Yeah, so USF's defense definitely has some work to do in terms of improving from their last time out. And UTSA is not just, you know, it's not Charlotte, it's not Rice, it's not SC State. They're not going to just roll over. So they've definitely got their work cut out for them, for sure, but they're more than up for the task. It's just about, you know, like we're saying, putting that brutal Memphis game, giving up 17 points in the fourth quarter. I mean, you mentioned the rushing yard total, and, you know, that's getting, you know, 17 points in the fourth quarter. That's really where it starts and ends for me. And like you said, playing all four quarters, and it's so disappointing because they had such elite performances in the second half in those previous games. But, you know, Memphis isn't Charlotte, Memphis isn't UNT. So they really kind of got away with a little bit against those previous teams, but they weren't able to take care of business against Memphis. And we're hoping that that's not a repeat performance against UTSA for sure. So we'll see how it goes. But definitely a lot to watch for this USF team. Because, you know, if they win this game, if they're able to take care of business, they can build some momentum and really make a really nice run. Because after UTSA, they have a little bit of a break in the schedule, and then it's Navy. Navy's kind of the next big prove it game, if you will. Other than that, I think they should be able to take care of business in terms of conference play. But I did want to get us into some predictions here for the USF football team, because we've got some really tremendous stuff to talk about around USF athletics, and we'll get to that to kind of finish off the second half of the show. But before we do, who you got winning and by how much, Mr. Patrick?
I'm going USF 38, UTSA 24. I think USF comes with a solid win. I think that, you know, UTSA has a capability to, you know, cook up a couple of things. I think they have, you know, some offensive weapons, especially with, you know, McCown under center. So, I mean, it could be a little bit lower, you know, but I do think that, they get some points on the board. But for the most part, I think USF dominates. You know, it can kind of be during certain periods, just depending on how much momentum we get going on. But I'm just more optimistic just because, you know, UTSA has not faced a team like USF. I feel like, especially when it comes to our defense. So we'll definitely hold it down. We could be just coming in hot, firing on all cylinders as well. You know, I mean, there's still a statement to be made, you know, the whole kind of, you know, playoff chances or not really in our favor anymore, or not really in our control. It's, you know, we're going to have a lot of things, you know, to happen for us to, you know, really have that chance. So we got to do what we can, but, you know, we still have a statement to be made.
For sure. Yeah. And I've got them winning 42-31. I agree. UTSA's got that offensive firepower for sure. But like you said, I do think that they're a little bit more limited in terms of what they can do against this talented USF defense. But, you know, it's the American Conference. These are all pretty high scoring games. There's not a whole lot of defense being played out there. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think USF takes this home. And that's, I think, you know, like you said, with the playoffs, there are a few things that are outside of their control. If they lose another game, if they lose another game, they got to count on a lot of whole things going right. But if they do happen to win out, especially in the regular season and then into the championship game, I don't see another team that would, you know, make it out of that group of four conference, you know, those, none of those teams that have conference championships in those other conferences. James Madison might be the only other one, but even them, it's the Sun Belt Conference. You know, they will, mm-hmm. they don't have signature victories against UF and Boise State like USF does. So, yeah, I do think that if they're able to win out, I think they're pretty much a shoo-in for the college football playoff. But, yeah, we'll have to see. And like you said, they got to win out. Or like I said, they got to win out. So that's not an easy thing. That's kind of not something to just dismiss. So we'll see, and we'll keep talking about USF football for the rest of the football season. And you know, we'll keep it real here. We're not gonna sugarcoat it. If they lose another game, things are not looking great. But things could be worse. We could still be in the, who is it, Brian Kelly? Is that the Clemson guy that they had?
Yeah.
Oh, good gracious, that was for some dark times. So we're talking about, you know, we're sitting here complaining while they're gonna have at least a 7 or 8 win season. Like, good gracious, I would have killed for a 7 or 8 win season a few years ago for USF's football team. But regardless, we'll still keep talking about them. But taking a look around USF's athletics, I wanted to start with the kind of the two big ones, the men's and women's basketball team. We'll start with the women's basketball team because they played first on Monday night. They had sort of a doubleheader kind of thing. It was kind of fun. They took home an 81-56 W versus FIU. And they had some really elite performances, Musab. You want to expand a little bit on who kind of the star players from that game were for the women's basketball team?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, big win. You know, first win for the new coach. But yeah, Lore. I'm probably gonna absolutely butcher this name. Lore Mputu. Racked up a double double, 20 points, 12 rebounds. Another name to look out for is Katie Davidson, who was part of that Becky Hammon Mid Major Player of the Year watch list. She racked up 14 points, 5 rebounds. Same thing with another watch list member. Eden Battle, 17 points. She had, I think it was around 7 rebounds, and she had a few assists. So doing a little bit of everything. And then forward Fatu Diakite also stepped up, 10 points, 5 rebounds. They had unfortunately, FIU had no bench points. I think we had around 25 or something. So the beauty or something unique, I noticed, looking at the box score and, watching the highlights and seeing, there's a whole lot of, different girls kind of stepping up to the plate. And, it seems like it's a team effort or a team win, which is because, nobody played more than 25 minutes. So I doubt we're going to see that in the future. We got some, real spicy competition. So we're definitely going to be relying on our stars. But hey, look, big win. We're off to a great start. It's a solid FIU team. Next up should be interesting, though, or in a good way, it should be fun. I mean, we're playing Long Island University. Only so much we know about them. It's a home game this Friday, so please do, if you're in the area, check it out. But yeah, only so much we know about them, Carter. Key player to watch is Kadidia Toure, who had 26 points and 10 rebounds versus Northeastern. So, look, as long as we lock her up, I think we should be fine. It didn't seem like, anyone from LIU was, important player minus her. So, hope that goes well, and, hope our girls, lock her down and, get the job done, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, FIU definitely not a pushover. They're not – UConn or South Carolina or anything, but go ahead.
Please go ahead. I was just gonna say, but don't you worry, because I didn't realize it, Carter, but how beautiful it is, or what a privilege it is, to face the top three teams as we speak right now in the nation. We're gonna have UConn on our schedule. The women's basketball team has South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think Vandy or someone was like 19, and then also, and UCLA is number 3 right now in the nation.
They get to play
Duke. So, look, we got a good warm up. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we, run over LIU, but the fun is beginning soon. And I think, the best thing that I love is, we can really see how we stand against the big dogs. and not just the big dogs. I mean, the biggest of the biggest. I mean, UConn, South Carolina. Oh man, this one, it's going to be a fun season, man. You know, it just makes me happy as a USF fan to see, you know, our athletic programs going against other top tier competition. We're seeing a little bit of that right now with football, and now we're seeing it with, you know, women's basketball. So I'm excited, but yeah, men's basketball, Carter. Yeah. I mean, you know, what have you seen so far?
Yeah. I mean, you know, really solid performance against, against FAMU. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but you know, 102-67, that's not nothing, even against maybe a lower tier opponent like FAMU. They got some really tremendous performances out of some transfers. A D2 transfer, Wes Ennis, had 22. And then an Arkansas State transfer, you're gonna hear that a lot with the new coach, Isaiah Nelson, 10 points and 16 rebounds, a nice little double-double for him. The bench had a 37-point performance, so that was really outstanding as well. You know, it's similar to the women's basketball game, you know, like just getting as many guys in there as you can, as many guys involved with the game as you can. So that was really encouraging to see. They're headed to George Washington this Saturday to take on an Atlantic 10 opponent. So that should be really interesting to watch. But yeah, I'm really excited to see how the men's basketball team progresses. Did you have any other thoughts to add on them? But to piggyback off of your point with the women's basketball team, the men's basketball team's got some tough opponents too, just in conference. Frankly, the American Conference men's basketball is pretty tough. They're going to have to play some good teams. But any other thoughts on the men's basketball game from this past Monday?
No, I mean, just, you know, obviously we're off to a great start, but it's only been one game. So, you know, only so much we can say. But I have to say, very nice to see, you know, D2 transfer Wes Ennis rack up 22 points. Yeah, you know, it's good, you know, nice. Kind of seeing that adjustment from D2 to D1. Again, it is FAMU. So, right. You know, let's see how, you know, someone like Wes Ennis does against, you know, a more relevant D1 team. Sure. But again, you know, just good vibes, and I'm glad, you know, to see other role players stepping up, like, you know, Omo Jafo, and even that, you know, Arkansas State transfer Isaiah Nelson as well. So, yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, they've got some tough opponents on their schedule. I mean, FAU, like I mentioned before, and then even Alabama, even outside of their conference, they're going to be playing some tough guys, and Oklahoma State is certainly not a slouch either. So. Yeah, they've got some tough opponents. These games are important, you know, getting the new system under Brian Hodgson, you know, that's really important to get adjusted. I know that, you know, we were just talking about how they had a lot of transfers from Arkansas State where Coach Hodgson was before. But, you know, it's still there's still some other guys there, too. Like you said, with Ennis, the D2 transfer. So, yeah, it's important. It's going to be really key for them to kind of sink their teeth into this new team and really mesh with their other guys. So, yeah, the men's and women's basketball team off to a good start. You know, a really, really nice start Monday. Because I think, what was it? Was it Boise State that lost to like a D2 school or a D3 school this past week to start their season off? It was, yeah, so things can go bad. And luckily they did not for USF's basketball team. So, yeah, some really impressive stuff. But any other athletic departments? I know the men's soccer team had a win against Memphis, right? So what's next for them?
Yes, big win against Memphis. The men's soccer team now is locked in number three as a number three seed in the American Athletic Conference tournament, which begins this Friday, November 7th. They'll be facing Tulsa, so should be a good matchup. And you know, just, you know, excited to, you know, see that, you know, we're getting some recognition and all that. So I'm excited for that. But women's soccer, though, on the other hand, the action's already begun. I was, you know, I had the privilege to attend the game last week against FAU. It was absolutely electric. Back and forth dogfight up until the end. USF racked up a nice header goal. And then shortly after, boom, just, you know, a couple of errors on the defense. Goalie kind of jumped the gun. Boom, FAU ties it up. But just as, you know, just when, you know, me and the cameraman beside me thought it was over, you know, because he was like, oh man, I thought we really had this, you know. So right. Just when we thought it was over, you know, one of their star players, Gentiana Fitaj, came through with a big goal just a few minutes before the 90th minute. So yeah, they racked up the 2-1 win, and they got a first round win against the second. So yeah, and then the, you know, the American Athletic Conference, the women's soccer tournament, has already begun this past Monday.
Right.
They had a big win in the first round against second seed Charlotte. And wow, it wasn't just, you know, huge, like a scrape. It was 3-0. They're going to face Rice this Thursday, so tomorrow. It's going to be a juicy matchup just because if USF did lose to Rice 3-1 in the regular season. So hopefully, you know, that's not the same result. But, yeah, man, just excited to see that, you know, we were able to, you know, have a big upset against, you know, the second seed. I think it was pretty big. You know, I feel like the USF women's soccer team was pretty ecstatic about it, the way they were kind of posting everything and all that. And, you know, I followed a couple of the players too. So it's definitely, definitely exciting. And, you know, of course, the job's not done. So
we'll see.
But yeah.
Yeah, job's not finished, but that's some exciting stuff, man. I'm really excited to see how these the soccer teams can continue their success. And the women's soccer tournament, that's local, right? That's in Lakewood.
It's in Lakewood Ranch.
Yeah. Yep. So if y'all are listening to us from Central Florida or anywhere around there on the West Coast, I had to do the compass in my head there for a second, but it's just down there, just a little bit south of Tampa. So you know, maybe give them some home field advantage, right? You know, you never know. But yeah, some exciting stuff going on with the women's and men's soccer team. Man, taking down Charlotte, like the second seed Charlotte, that's some big stuff. So that's some exciting stuff for sure. But before we log off here, I did want to give a shout out to the volleyball team. They took down Tulsa, right? 3-0. Do I have that right? Yeah, yep. Yeah. Go for it.
Took down Tulsa. Took an L this past Sunday against Wichita State. Good news, though, is we are still number two in the standings. And the other good news is we are headed to University of Alabama, Birmingham this Friday, who is on a 6-game losing streak.
Oof.
Should be fun. And then, sorry. We're headed to University of Alabama. I just completely misread that. And then we'll be facing Memphis, who's on a 6-game losing streak. They're both the good news is they're both in the bottom of the rankings. I think Memphis is at the bottom. Still a couple more games, you know, in the regular season, but it's looking real good, you know, for the volleyball team, and, you know, excited to see them get in action for the tournament. So, you know, if you look at it in the bigger picture, Carter, not one USF, or at least the teams we talked about, took an L, you know, this past week. I mean, yeah, USF football was on a bye week, so that's an automatic W. Men's, women's basketball team, big W's. Soccer, two big W's against FAU and then Charlotte. Volleyball, now that I think about it, they did take an L against Wichita State. So, well,
all victories.
Almost all, yeah. Right. But, you know, just I have to say, you know, as a USF grad, you know, it's just so refreshing or so nice to see what our athletics department is doing and, you know, the way we look right now compared to before. I mean, we have our own, you know, USF athletic CEO now with Rob Higgins, and now we got Derek Brooks in the house. So that's like, right. You know, we are serious about this. You know, we got a stadium up, you know, on its way. And, I mean, more importantly, our teams are doing very well and they're thriving. So it's a great day to be a USF Bull.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking back, there's been some dark times, especially for the men's basketball and the football teams. The women's basketball team has been pretty solid throughout really my lifetime in the 21st century. So that's not really what we're talking about in terms of a bounce back. But yeah, like you said, the new CEO, I'm still getting used to that. I feel like I'm going to keep calling Rob Higgins the athletic director, because, like, that's just, you know, that's what you call a guy in his position. But yeah, he seems to be getting them on the right track. I know he's only been there for a few months now, but man, he seems to have a really positive attitude and seems to have some
very active. I feel like he's everywhere
in the community.
I see tweets, and it's like, one second he's at the soccer game, and then boom, he's at the basketball game. I'm like,
insane stuff. And I can't wait, like you said, with the stadium. I can't wait for the stadium to get opened up, because then it's like, man, you can really just live at USF and see a whole bunch of athletic stuff, and it's just nonstop. You know, it's going to be everywhere. You know, the USF football team and the basketball team and the soccer teams and volleyball, and of course baseball and softball, which we haven't really talked about on the show too much because they're in, you know, the off season. But man, USF baseball, you talk about Shane McClanahan, hey, go Bulls, you know what I mean? Orion Kirkring, he was a USF Bull, although I don't know if I should bring that up for Phillies fans, but still, you know, it's there's some real talent coming out of the USF athletics department. So definitely stick around, keep listening to our show, because they've got some really great stuff. Hit that like or subscribe button. We'd really appreciate it. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Bulls or at RBLR Sports. We've got some great content coming out across the channel. In fact, Mr. Tariq and I, if you loved hearing our lovely voices, then you can listen to the Buck Show as well. We'll be on at about 7 p.m. or 7:30 on Wednesday night if you want to tune in live. But you can also listen to us on demand wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. So we would really appreciate it. But regardless, thank you to my wonderful co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, for making my job so easy. We'll see y'all next week, regardless of whether the football team wins or loses, regardless of the results of the men's and women's basketball teams. We'll be here to talk about it all. And as always, and until then, go Bulls.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.